took a lot of courage to do it because of that. In other words, well, he'd already said he wasn't going to do it, and it was sort of cut and dry, and it really didn't take a lot of courage at all because everybody knew he was going to veto it.
Well, I don't think he left any doubt he was going to veto it. Now, by the way, you say those two groups, the cities, are badly represented in Arkansas. The city lobbying effort is very poor, so I wouldn't really count the cities as a terribly influential group. The counties is a different matter. No, I think it took courage. The counties did lobby. They lobbied the hell out of that thing. And the counties are allowed now in Arkansas law, in effect, to finance their lobbying group through quorum court funds if they want to. And I don't think left any doubt these would veto the thing, but it was, well, they pushed the hell out of that thing. They said, I would say that it took real courage. This wasn't just a, you know, pro forma cut and dry thing. And he almost lost it. I wouldn't think the cities were a factor. No, I agree with you there.
What's the explanation of why that bill, you know, passed overwhelmingly in the legislature? The governor vetoed it, and only takes a simple majority to override the veto, and the veto was sustained.
Well, I think a lot of them thought it was a lousy bill, but you needed credit with the folks back home, particularly your county officials, so you vote for it. But at the same time, you make clear to the county officials, you know, you support them on that, but you're not going to vote you're not going to vote to override the governor's veto, because that's a different thing. I think that was a lot of that problem. And also guys who were pushing it, John Beard, a good friend of mine, who was very instrumental. A lot of times, you know, you can give him one vote and, you know, at the same time, not vote over on the governor's veto. I don't think they really wanted it, actually. I think they understood the, you know, the fiscal straitjacket it put the state into. And,
I mean,
of course,
the legislature didn't.
Yeah, I think so. The counties wanted it. You can't blame them. But, and of course, the counties and cities also got an enormous increase in funds, even with the fact that the bill was vetoed. But I would say that, you know, it took a lot of courage. I don't think he made any friends by that. I mean, you know, who cares about something? The good government folks care about it because it's fiscally irresponsible to do something like that, but that's not a terribly big constituency in Arkansas. So if you had statewide ambitions, you know, vetoing a bill like that is going to tick off every county official throughout the state. And in the non-urban areas, they're very influential. I mean, to me, it took a lot of guts to do that.
Except Bumpers had none of that support in 1970, and perhaps only about a quarter of it in 1974.
Well, I don't think you could do it because of image. I mean, his image is a good government. A good government guy doesn't allow a 7% you know, straitjacket to take place. Yeah, but still, you know, if a guy takes power, you know, then you usually make your peace with powers that be. And, of course, for something like that, he's, you know, he's always going to be, you know, the county judges, people like this, not be terribly enthusiastic about it. Of course, he's so damn good, he doesn't need it. I mean, I don't know what went on in his mind. He may have figured in his own mind that I don't need him, you know. Maybe the point you're making, I don't know about that. And he didn't need him. And he doesn't need him. And I say that, which I would think that if you could plot it, I think their influence, the county officials, that their influence is, you know, just directly proportional to how rural the county is. The county's urban, the county officials seem to me just kind of, I wouldn't say meaningless, but not nearly as influential as otherwise.
Bumpers has a reputation of being depending on who's making it, either one, indecisive, or two, slow to reach a decision until he has all the facts.
Well, I think he's cautious, but I think all politicians are cautious. And I never bought the argument. I know Rockefeller used this against him just at the beginning that he was indecisive. I think what he does, and people confuse this, I think he has a great talent to defuse controversial issues, and it's a real talent, he has it. And I think for this reason, people think that he's indecisive. Some people don't like him, think he's indecisive and weak and so on and so forth. But give a good example of this Lee County Clinic. Did y'all discuss this at all, hear anything about it? I think it's a beautiful example of Bumper's technique, where the Lee County Clinic obviously had to be there. I mean, it was the only really medical facility that, you know, was really serving the black community. And yet there were probably some fiscal irregularities. Maybe they were abusing guidelines and so on and so forth. So he, you know, he doesn't veto it. He allows it to stay, but he says he wants very tight standards put on and so on and so forth. I guess he lost some white support in Lee County, but that's an example of how he functions. Or again, the 7%. Functioning this way, I'm not going to prove the 7% because it's irresponsible, but I am going to prove an increase for the counties and cities over what it was 2 years ago. And of course, the increase should be granted. I think he just has a talent to defuse controversial issues and people confuse his indecisiveness and wavering and so on and so forth. And like I say, I think he's cautious like all politicians. In terms of not wanting to commit yourself until you
see. Does he provide leadership, and as governor, has he provided leadership and initiative, or has he more sought consensus?
Well, as far as that, I think he's tried to bring about consensus, let's put it that way. I mean, for example, the bills he introduced, maybe this gets back to Rockefeller, you know, laying the groundwork. The bills he introduced, like, you know, the community college, the free textbooks, and the kindergartens, you know, 5 years ago, that had just been unheard of in Arkansas, that people could do things like that. I think what he does is he reads public opinion very, very accurately, and when he sees it's time to move, he moves. Now, at the same time, I don't think that he follows. I don't mean that he waits until the public opinion is known so that he can then move. I think he probably got a feel for, you know, how far he can go and when it's good to move on issue, I guess, anyhow. And then maybe this is a Rockefeller thing. Rockefeller kind of laid, you know, the same argument you can make about Kennedy laying the groundwork for Johnson, or, you know, Teddy Roosevelt laying the groundwork for Wilson and so on and so forth. Maybe that type of thing. But Rockefeller just wasn't that effective, I don't think.
Do you consider Bumper to be presidential material?
Yes, yes.
You compared his legislative record to the first 100 days?
Yeah, right. Well, that's a little exaggerated, but it, I thought he did enormously, incredibly well. And here's a guy with no legislative experience, no executive experience, to come in and do that, I was very impressed with him. Now, he's no Fulbright, and God knows the Fulbright's preferable to him, but I think my wife writes him off. I don't write him off at all. And he's got all attributes of national character, national possibility. He's charismatic, he's good on TV, he's intelligent, he's proved himself the legislature. He can do a lot worse than Dave Bumpers.
Why do you run against Fulbright?
I have no idea. I don't know whether he knew he could win, or I suppose that was it.
Is there any, in your opinion, is there any truth, or how much truth to the story that he ran for the Senate because he was afraid Fulbright was so weak that if Faubus won, Faubus would win?
I don't think so. I've never heard that. Where did you pick that up? Don't give me the source, but where did I get it?
Somewhere in Arkansas. I couldn't give you the source because I don't remember where we heard it. We heard it a couple places.
Yeah, it was also suggested with the horse's mouth itself.
You know, Faubus was here to handle their problems, and they could identify with Faubus, but don't send him to Washington.
That was with Faubus and Poe show.
Yeah. So I heard him. I don't know why Bumpers. I assume Bumpers took a poll which showed he could win. I assume that's where he probably ran. I don't know. Fulbright did help him. I mean, I'm a witness to that. I mean, that it's, you know, it's not very admirable. I think you run against a guy who's helped you. And, you know, I don't. I'm not trying to rationalize Bumper with that, but Bumper's a very talented guy. I don't think he's bad. I just, and, you know, from a personal thing, one thing that really impressed me about the guy, I've helped him with some speech writing, and I wrote part of his first inaugural speech that he gave, and came time for his second one, and Brian and I were over at the mansion, and he said, come on in here, here's my second inaugural speech, see what you think about it. And I read through the thing and, you know, made a couple of suggestions. But what he'd done, he's written the second inaugural speech all on his own. Oh, by this time he has a stable speech writer, not just me. And I think he felt that, you know, once you're governor, you get too powerful, you get too accustomed to staff running things for you, you lose touch unless you occasionally do things like this yourself. And I was very impressed that he wrote the second inaugural speech. I'd say 98% wrote himself. And despite the fact he had speech writers who could do it, I just think he felt he could submit himself to discipline of doing that every now and then, or you lose touch if you don't. I mean, he's that kind of guy. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't impress you. I just kind of like to write speeches. I think it's a real impressive thing for a guy to do who's very busy. Sit down and write his, you know, whole, and I'd say 98% of it he wrote himself. And he reads. I like selection of books that he reads and this type of thing. And he's got a damn good mind. He doesn't have a mind like Fulbright, but he's got a good mind.
What did he read?
Well, he read Harper's, he read Atlantic, he read The Reporter before it folded, things like that. Which is unusual for a guy living in Charleston, Arkansas, even if he did go to Northwestern, I guess. What'd y'all think about it?
Yeah.
Have I really made you cry?
Well, this one made you cry. This was what to do about Bob Sarver, the state correction commissioner. Did y'all, anybody told you about that?
No.
Yeah, Sarver is an impressive guy. He's out of West Virginia. He's a lawyer in West Virginia. He was in the West Virginia penal system and was fired, I think, because some of the hardheads got control there. And Rockefeller put him in here as corrections commissioner. And a lot of good government support, legal and borders and so on and so forth. Now, many legislators didn't like him and they wanted to get rid of him. And the question is, what Bumps is going to do here? Is he going to fire Sarver, or is he going to keep him on, replace him? Not. Bear in mind, too, Sarver has no penal experience, no penal degrees. I mean, his background is a lawyer, although he was in the penal system in West Virginia. And Bumpers kept him on for about, I'd say, 6 months, and a lot of legislative pressure to get rid of him. And finally replaced him with a guy from Texas who was in the Texas penal system, Don Hutto. But I don't know if that qualified or not.
The Grant Cooper thing, did he get involved? What's his involvement in that?
I don't think much of it. He had a Grant Cooper thing like everybody else. You know, so that, as a matter of fact, I think he's in the most responsible position on Grant Cooper. And he's also said that he approved the way the university handled the whole thing, which nobody else, including Pope Arcus, has said. Grant Cooper just can't touch me. If you're a politician, you've got to say, fire that son of a bitch. You know, there's no way. In Arkansas, there's no way you can live with a Grant Cooper due process situation.
Tax has not been changed since
1929.
And it went from what to what? Maximum of...
What was it? I think maximum was... it went from... Maximum, I believe, was 5%, went to 7%, and the brackets were raised all the way along the lines, 1,500, 25, and so on up the line. And, you know, that wasn't a very popular thing.
It's now 7% maximum.
7% is the highest rate now, yeah. But I think it was 5%, and the brackets were raised, too. But in a say, you they had an increase in 1929. I'm trying to think what else you got through in terms of that.
End interview with Cal Ledbetter. No more transcription. This tape.